Welcome to From Fear to Fire, Secrets to Overcome Fear, Embrace Your Gifts, and Achieve Success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host. And today's quote is by Carl Sagan: preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. And today I am so excited to bring back to you, to bring back to you a guest that we have already had. Carrie Hummingbird is the founder of Inner Medicine Training, a mystery school that shares potent ancient traditions from the Andes and Himalayas for owning your wisdom and living your purpose. She is the number one international best-selling author of The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama, and Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound. As the host of Soul Nectar Show, Ms. Hummingbird inspires people to lead their lives wide awake with an authenticity, passion, and purpose that positively impacts others. As a healer and mentor, she catalyzes mind shifts that transform life challenges into gifts of wisdom. I'm so excited to share her with you and her newest book, released on Earth Day 2023, is Inner Medicine, Becoming One with Mother Earth for the Survival of Humanity. Welcome, Carrie. How are you?
I love that quote by Carl Sagan that you gave us. That's so beautiful.
Now, sometimes the quotes come out and call to me.
That's a perfect quote.
Right. And I'm so drawn to learn more about your new book. You know that I am on this mission to find humanity and, you know, inner medicine, becoming one with Mother Earth for the survival of humanity. I can't even tell you. So let's start with that. Tell me a little bit about the book, how it came to be. Okay.
Well, I think this book has been 12 years in the making, or arguably my whole life, right? Because I was really involved in looking outside myself for answers and looking to people that I were identified as experts to tell me about me. And I spent 2 decades in the psychotherapy industry, kind of like on the couch, asking for this external expert to help me be with myself. And then the external medication, right, to help me cope with myself, because coping was like sort of a paradigm of that industry. It's like, well, we'll help you cope with yourself, but we don't know how to help you transform or accept yourself or any of that. Yeah. But we'll help you cope. Yeah. And so at some point, coping turned into this really dark tunnel, because that's what happens when your landscape or your sort of prediction of your life is like, here's your label that identifies just how you're like abnormal and broken, right? Mm-hmm. And when it's your mind, it's kind of like saying, you're just going to be broken forever. And that's kind of like the message I got, right? Was like, you're going to be like this forever. We don't know how to fix it. So you're just going to have to live with it and cope with it. And I got to the end of that sort of rabbit trail all the way down into the dark night of soul where I wanted to die. And then this little light opened up inside my heart and said, are you really going to leave your kids? Mm. I was like, no, I can't. I'm their mom. Yeah. I can't leave my kids. I have to do something. And then this little question started. And questions are actually really powerful. So I want to invite everyone to use questions all the time. But this little question started and it said, isn't the definition of insanity doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? So maybe this psychotherapy industry that I've been told is the expert of me isn't actually the expert of me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I need to walk away from that, because I've tried that and I'm a smart woman. I went to Smith College. I'm smart. Maybe I just need to go, that is a failed experiment. That did not work for me. And the drugs didn't work for me. And so I need a new way. And so inner medicine is about turning inside and discovering yourself, taking that journey. And I like to say the mystery, because life is a mystery. How do we get connected? What is synchronicity? How does that happen? Because when you finally decide to live, which is what I did, is the first decision, I'm going to live.
Yeah.
I'm living for my kids at this moment, but I'm going to live. Mm-hmm. When you make that decision, the whole path opens up and the mystery says, awesome, here's a resource. Here's your next step. And then you say, okay, I will do anything to heal. That's the second agreement. Mm-hmm. I will do anything to be better. And then you take all the things and you say yes. And when you say yes, the whole path opens up. And that helps you understand your inner medicine. And in the second wave book you had me on here, I was talking about the unique thumbprint. Mm-hmm. And so we're moving out of, I moved myself, and I encourage everybody else to move yourself out of the idea that there's one set path that can be defined by any institution or organization mm-hmm. or expert system of experts, and move into the realization that you are a unique thumbprint. You're a unique design, and nobody can navigate that except you. Mm-hmm. And you can call, there'll be people that brought into your path to support you with a step or two, but ultimately it's your journey. And don't get stuck on any one thing, or like follow some guru forever and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not a guru. I'm not your guru. I'm your guide. I'm your Sherpa. I help you like this step and this step and however many steps you want. And then when you're like, you know what, I found another Sherpa, bless you. You know, we went this far together. And I know you feel the same way. It's like,
I do, Carrie, you know, and, you know, just to honor those of you who are out there, who are listening, who are in a stage where you really do need some of that outer guidance, please do that. Do what you feel is right for you. The key word being what you feel is right for you. And I think Carrie and I have had similar experiences from the standpoint of, I have had someone external to me, a doctor, tell me that I should never dance again. And then I did, because I listened to myself. And yes, I needed to adapt how I did it, but I made a decision and I listened to my heart. Just like Carrie, you listened to your heart, and that voice that said, you have to live and you have reason, you have a why. And then it opens to the answers, right? So we need it in conjunction. Always come back to you and always come back to those beautiful questions. I am so in agreement with you that we honor ourselves, we listen to ourselves, but we keep asking questions. Do you have some suggestions for our listeners out there who are thinking, maybe I haven't asked the best questions? Do you have some good ones to give them to get them started on the path?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to just circle back just for a second on that other topic. It's like, until you make the decision to live and to do anything to be mm-hmm. better, nobody can help you. And so psychotherapy then becomes a holding tank for, you know, and the person's just holding space, listening to your story every single week, hoping one day you'll decide to give up that story. So mm-hmm. that's a difficult, so let's just applaud all psychotherapists that have to sit through those endless stories week after week after week, okay? Because it's really hard to sit through that when the person doesn't want to change. Mm-hmm. So coming back to this, I would say, where am I attached?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I attached to mm-hmm. life showing up for me a certain way, and until it does, I'm going to remain miserable?
Mm-hmm.
That is a really big trap, because what we want to do is we want to be like kids on, I want to tell you this Christmas story. So we want to be like kids on Christmas morning,
mm-hmm.
Christmas morning, not in the middle of the night when, as I did in like third or fourth grade, walk downstairs to the tree, uh-huh. start opening all my presents to see if I got the present I wanted. And then I did. And then wrap them all back up as if I hadn't seen anything. I got to tell you that Christmas morning that year was the worst Christmas really? I ever had, because I'd already seen everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pretend that I didn't know.
Yes.
That sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what most people are living. I already know my future. It's very predictable. I have my retirement account. I have a rough plan of when I will allow myself to have fun. In the meantime, I'm going to work like a dog and do all the things that they say to do, and then just disconnect and take my, drink my bottle of wine. Believe me, I did it too. Drink my bottle of wine on the weekend to feel better, or at night if you need it every night. I gotta got to that place. It's like that is a not a way to live. Way too predictable, and you get bored. And your inner child is just like the one that showed up, the one with the bright eyes, the one that everything was a mystery, the one that's like, wow, look at those colors, or wow, look at that butterfly, or wow, look at that flower. That one just is like, really? This is my life? I don't want to live this life.
You've lost the curiosity.
And so, all medicine programs and all mystery schools are about surrendering control and surrendering predictability and surrendering the safe life as actually making you really depressed and going into the mystery of like, well, what do I like? What and I don't even know. Show me life. What do I like? Put something in front of me that I can say yes to and decide if I like it or not. Running some experiments, opening to be shifted. Maybe instead of driving home the same way, you drive another way. Maybe instead of going to that same store, you go a different store. Maybe you move the furniture around in your house. And this is one I personally hate because my husband loves to move stuff around. But I've had to confront my own issues on that. And so you do that when you move stuff around, like happened with me, and I had to share my bedroom with my husband, because I had my house by myself for a long time. And then he came in and he started encroaching and he started wanting more space. And I was like,
What
I'm an
is
only child, people. Like, get out of here. And one day he came home and he had moved just a simple table, and he had moved it. And I was like, oh. And I had a fit, and that was because my inner child was, I was at an edge with my inner child. And so what I had to do is work with my inner child in that moment. And I said, you don't need to be here right now. Let me just work with me, because I got to work with my inner child right now. And he felt terrible, but it was like, no, this is my work, right? And so when we get that smart, where we go, oh, this is an aspect of me that needs healing, we can start moving and shifting things around in our lives to open up those resistance blocks, those places where we're trying to clutch and keep it all the same so that we don't have to be scared. And then we open up the mystery. And then you know what it's like when you open up the mystery, Heather. Like, it's amazing, right?
So much fun, so much fun. And what you're talking about too, when you do that, when you recognize that you have to open it up for yourself, you have to look inside, you're not taking somebody else down with you.
Yeah, like it's all your fault because you moved my table.
Because I have an issue right now and I need to work on it, right? No, so you're like, let me step away from this. Let me come back to me, figure it out, get curious, and then come back to the real world again.
And the thing is, when you do that, what happens is those moments in your relationship, they happen less and less and less because your inner child starts to learn, oh, I don't have to throw a fit because she's listening to me all the time. And she's noticing the nuances instead of it being some big thing. And then you're not blaming it on your partner, right? And so the love between you grows and the trust between you grows because you're not going to blame your stuff on the other person. You're not going to project your shadow over there like that's that person. And I spent 20 years in a marriage where we projected shadows on each other. And I can tell you, when you're somebody else's victim all the time, and it's not fun.
It's not fun.
It's a bad marriage to be like, it's like really uncomfortable. It's painful. It's always somebody else's fault. You feel like a victim all the time. And it's like pointing fingers, pointing, pointing, pointing. And my mom always says, when you're doing this, look how many are pointing back at you. That's what she told me that whole time. She's like, she was trying to teach me. And we don't listen at first because we have that victim consciousness, But we have to move through that if we want to be free and sovereign beings. We have to move through that victim consciousness and claim 100% radical responsibility for our lives. Even our parents we chose, radical responsibility as if you chose the entire life experience that you were going to have, which is true. And if you can embrace that, your whole life will change.
Responsibility. I love that. So now this is all part of that inner medicine that you talk about. Do you want to give us anything else about inner medicine, about what it means for people?
Yeah, you know, I would say so. We work with indigenous practices to open up access to the forces of good on the planet. Like the directions are not just directions, they're consciousness beings. So just like archangels in Christianity, you know, if you think about the angels, and some people think those are the angels, and so, you know, whatever you want to think. But it's like the south, the west, the north, and the east, those are beings that hold open this whole experience so that we can have it, right? This physical experience. And so we can invite them in, and we can invite God, Source Creator, and we can invite, you know, and if you've never done this before and you're like, I don't even know if I believe in that, I'm agnostic, I kind of think, you know, or I'm atheistic, and I, even if you're like that, run the experiment. I welcome the South, I welcome the West, and I have a whole script in all of my books. I welcome the East, you know, I welcome my ancestors, I welcome the Earth. I welcome the sky. Just try it and see what happens. You know, you don't have to be all religious or spiritual. You can just go, I'm going to try this and see what happens. That's the most important thing, is like being curious. And the thing is, what I've learned through my own exploration, and you can check it yourself by running the experiment, is that this universe is extremely respectful. And so it will not do anything to help you unless you ask for it. And so I ask for it every day, multiple times a day, but I start every day by opening sacred space and saying, yeah, I'm welcome. I'm welcoming help. I welcome support from my lineages that back my work, from the Andes and the Himalayas. I welcome all this beautiful medicine. I welcome my ancestors. I welcome any spiritual energies that are really, you know, for my highest good. I welcome the earth. I welcome it all to guide me. And in that moment of that decision, that means I can be met. I can be met every moment with something new, and I'm not trying to figure it out, and I'm listening. It's a different modality. I'm not figuring it out. I'm paying attention and listening. I'm being the witness. It's so much easier to live this way. It's so much more graceful.
I love that. It's so much more graceful because, you know, I love that phrase. I've used that phrase, live with grace, right? You know, so it's just so much more graceful. That is beautiful. So, you know, with this coming out on Earth Day, there's this Earth influence. So how does connecting the Earth spiritually help you make better choices, better decisions?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So let's think about right now the mushrooms. So mushrooms have are connected down through tree roots actually to form a mycelial network, which means that mushrooms around the entire planet and trees around the entire planet communicate with each other all the time. We are the same. So we're in a closed ecosystem, which means that we're all part of the body of Mother Earth. Whether we want to imagine that to be true or not, we are. We're all, there's some, the indigenous people say, when you have a glass of water, you are drinking, every ancestor and probably every animal and plant has had this same water that's in my glass right now that I'm going to drink all throughout time. I'm drinking the same water that everybody else has drunk. So we're breathing the same air that everybody else has breathed. We're not separate. We just like to think we are, because we're like, ooh, I don't want to share water with that person. I don't like that person, right? So we get these judgments, and then we could separate ourselves. But actually, we're all one. So when and we're uniquely individual. So both, it's a paradox. So wrap your brain around that if you can. But we're, you know this to be true. We're all unique individuals, and we're part of a collective. So it's kind of like the body. The body has a heart, the body has a liver, the body has kidneys, the body has arms and legs and fingers, all these different parts that are unique, but they're part of the body.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're all a cell in the body. So when we choose to make our cell healthy, and by the way, the cell that we are is a piece of Mother Earth, that's the garden. That's the garden you're caretaking, is your body, which is a cell of Earth. You're only responsible really to caretake that one cell. If you caretake your garden and then that becomes Eden, then you're creating Eden on Earth, because your cell is going to radiate that frequency to everybody else and give them a hint like, hey, this could happen for you too if you took care of your garden. So, but everybody has to take care of their own garden. That is the invitation to be here on the planet, is to be the steward of Earth by taking care of your own garden, your piece of Earth. And when you get good at that, you can expand, like Heather has expanded, and like I've expanded, you can expand it to help more people take care of their
Yes.
gardens
Yeah.
to the degree that you're taking care of your garden.
Gosh, Carrie, I love this, and I love the body analogy because, sometimes it's really hard to explain to people the dichotomy between self and connectedness, oneness, right? But that's such a great way to do it, the way that you did that with the organs and then the body as a whole, right? Such a great, clear message. And I think that one of the things that I really have always appreciated about you and your messaging is that, and like anyone can hear you and go, oh, right? Like we it's it makes so much sense, but it's so big, but so clear at the same time. And I really enjoy that about you. Now, you were mentioning some of these lessons that we got from the Indigenous people. What are some of the other things that Indigenous people know that maybe some Western people could benefit from?
I have a perfect one coming in for me right now, which is gratitude. So the indigenous people always have practices around gratitude, around putting their feet on the earth, on the mother, and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for my life. Thank you for my food. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my breath. Thank you for this opportunity to be here, dear mother. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. And really opening their heart with that gratitude. And before saying something like, Anne, I could really use some support with this thing over here that's I'm challenged with. I'm struggling with this thing. And I thank you for opening me up. Thank you for giving me insight. Thank you for guiding me, which is really different than I'm not getting what I want.
Yeah, or the typical,
And
why
like,
me? Help me, help me, without starting with gratitude. I love starting with
or
gratitude.
like, and it's like, I used to do this. I used to be this person. My first coach was so. She had such a hard time with me, Heather, because I was so angry and ungrateful and just impatient and just like, what's what I want? And I was just giving me now, it's not working. And and I was just, and she gave me this book on gratitude. She's like, you need to do 100 days of gratitude, like, because you're
100 days
so
of what?
gratitude. Like, I was like, what? And she said, you need to journal. You need to follow this book because you are really, this is your number one block. You are so ungrateful. And I had blessings upon blessings upon blessings in my life. Always, my whole life, I've had blessings upon blessings. And I didn't see it. I was just so angry and so resentful. And like my, and this is what the Toltecs call the smoky mirror. I had this smoky mirror over my eyes. It's kind of like when you take a shower and it gets all heated up and the glass gets all foggy. And you can't really see yourself very clearly, and you can't see life very clearly. That was me. I had the smoky mirror from all of my, just like, and really from early childhood, right? Because when your brain gets programmed that life is bad or that is scary or that, you're not going to get your needs met and you have difficult times growing up, that becomes your smoky mirror. And then even if life is like showering you with blessings, you don't see it. So what you've got to do is somehow, like when I got down to my dark tunnel at the end of my 20 years of psychotherapy and the marriage that was really challenging for me, I didn't have the right tools for that marriage. And I got down to my suicidal moment of like, okay, it was because of all that ungratitude and anger, right? It was because I wasn't seeing the blessings upon blessings. And if I got blessings, I was like, I had my hand out for the next blessings. And so I had to really come to myself and come to the mother and say, wow, I need to change my ways. I have a lot of blessings that I'm not seeing. And I can tell you, in our culture, in the Western civilization, we have so many blessings.
Oh, my
We
goodness.
have blessings upon blessings. We have running water in our houses. We have our own homes. We have free time. We get to sit in a movie and do nothing and have this whole entertainment screen in front of us. We get to punish our body with Diet Coke if we feel like it. We can have any luxury item we want. I mean, I used to go to Napa and drink wine, and I had like a whole wine collection. I had a wine cellar. Anybody's got a wine cellar, you're blessed. We have all these blessings. And then we got our hand out for more. Like it's never enough. And this is not a judgment. This is actually a turning point because it's not out there. It's not out there. It's in here.
That inner medicine. Yes.
It's inner medicine.
Everything that you need is already inside of you.
It's, you got to find that inside. And when you hit that, I mean, you got to, you know, it's really, there's addictions that we have, like addictions to wine to fill the spot, right? Addictions to alcohol to fill the spot because it numbs. And it also, for a temporary while, it makes you jovial, you know, so you feel better about your life for a little while and then you feel worse. And AA is really about helping you to cope by not having it, right? Helping you cope with the addiction. But you can actually transcend the addiction because underneath every single addiction is a love addiction. Trying to meet the love from outside, grasping from outside to feel loved, feeling validated, feeling loved from outside. Every single addiction is based on filling up by grabbing love from outside. And that might be expressed like your job and making more money. So I need to make more and more and more money so I can have more and more and more love, because love equals money. Money equals love. And so you're like wanting love. So you're trying to get as much love. Okay, gimme, 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 gimme. And trying to fill up that spot. And then you get all the money and you're like, that doesn't make me happy. Right. Or you have a bunch of partners. Like you have your partner, but then you have affairs because it's not, I did this, so it's no judgment. But you go out and you get a partner, you know, you get affairs to try to fill that cup with sex or dating or just any attention. And then that doesn't work. So you kind of have to go on a celibacy of all addictions. Like you've got to say, you know what, I'm going in. I'm not going to let myself have these addictions. I'm going to love myself into loving myself by taking away the things that are actually preventing me from acquiring the love that I'm seeking, because I'm trying to get it outside and it's actually in. So I went in 100 days of celibacy, Heather. 100 days of celibacy. I fell off at step 6. And then I got back on and then I started over. And I completed the 100 days and I've kicked that habit. I don't need that anymore for my love. So now my love can be full in myself and can be an overflow with my partner. So it's a whole different configuration that grows love in a reciprocity. This is like, if you look at the Celestine prophecy, they actually talk about the reciprocity of energy going back and forth. That becomes a reciprocity of energy. The other way is a draining.
And so with this, it's so important, the inner work here, the stillness and silence and meditation, all of that. That must have a big impact on it, right? Do you
absolutely
consider that important?
One of the reasons why most Indigenous people don't have a lot going on, like during the day, and they got to sit around a lot and be quiet a lot, is because they're doing the inner inquiry. They're not busy out there doing a bunch building buildings and all this kind of. They do what they have to do to provide and have food and stuff like that, and then they chill because they know the work's inside. So they have very simple lives. And people say, oh, they're in poverty, they're in this. No, they're intentionally in the space they're in nature, because they want to be surrounded by nature because that has the answers. And they want to sit in nature and be with nature, and they want to be quiet in nature with themselves because that gives them the answers. So they're not really about going out, because they already know that's a sham. Like that's a castle built of sand. It's the ocean's going to wash that away. Everything that Western civilization values is seriously like the ocean just washing it away. If you see what's happening with our institutions right now, life is just going, that's not it. Shh, that's not it. Learn some lessons here. And you're going to learn the hard way because we didn't want to learn the easy way. So,
yeah. While we're talking about that, what's going on specifically in the world today, let's talk about the epidemic of mental illness. And I mean, I personally think and have researched that it's growing, right? So what are your thoughts on that, and how can we utilize what you're speaking about to help?
Yeah, so what's happening on the planet is that we're moving to 5D. And so for anybody who's like, what the hell is that? Now she's talking in spiritual terms. Dang it. It's about your brain. So we were in reptilian brain, which is a survival brain. Most of a good part of the planet has been living in reptilian brain. And now a segment of the population, a growing segment, has been living in the limbic brain, which is all about, me, mine, acquire, jaguar. If you think about jaguar, getting what it wants, tracking, figuring out how to, it's sexuality, it's like emotions, it's, and so we're starting to like feel our emotions, right? So we're getting into that limbic brain now, and so that's great because once we start, and that's part of why people are having problems, right? Because they're finally feeling their feelings, their heart's opening, and they're feeling their feelings. That's why they're having a hard time, because they're feeling finally all the stuff that their closed heart wouldn't let them feel. When you're in reptilian brain, you don't feel anything. You just do what you want, reaction, reaction. You just get what you want. You don't think about the consequences and you don't feel it. So you just shut it off. When you go into limbic, you start to feel your emotions and it's overwhelming at first because you have to learn how to feel those things and work with that limbic brain. And then when you go into the frontal cortex, that's the imagination brain. And there's a ton of us on the planet right now in frontal cortex with hummingbird. We're bringing in the dream. The sacred dream is waking back up. That's what the second wave has been doing and the first wave before us. We, and this is Dolores Cannon's work for anybody who wants to know, the three waves of volunteers. And that's in the second wave book too. But when, when all these people are sacred dreaming together and we're all plugged back into the planet, right? So we're in the mycelial network, just like the mushrooms, and then we're dreaming the new dream. We're calling in these galactic frequencies, these high vibration frequencies. And this is where the starseed conversation comes in. People are like, what are starseeds? Well, go look at the second wave book. But when these master star seeds are here on the planet calling in high frequencies for the planet, anytime you call in that much light, the darkness gets stirred up. So all the darkness on the planet and every single human where it lives is going like, oh, and getting rattled and shook loose and jived and like it's coming up and it has to purge somehow. So it comes up and out. You cry, you get sick, your body gets sick if you hold on to it, you vomit, you have digestive issues because it needs to get out of you somehow. So when you're in that interment space, it's kind of like a glass filled with mud. And when we start to pour in the high frequencies, the mud won't receive it because it's so dense and dry, caked dry. Just try this experiment with really caked dry mud. The water can't seep in. So you keep pouring. And so we've all been, the star seeds have been pumping the light in, right? And so to pour more in to the ecosystem. And then what happens is eventually it starts, some pieces of that mud start to receive that water, and the water is love. And so it starts to receive the love in the water, and then it starts to break loose, and then it comes up. So when it's coming up, don't shove it down. When it's coming up, let it free, let it out. Learn to cry,
Oh, I
learn to
love that.
move, learn to dance, learn to yell. If you're angry, learn to roar like a lion. If you need to cry, cry wherever you are. We need to start accepting that, the emotional body is part of the human experience. It's not to be suppressed, denied, pushed aside, or ignored. It's actually really potent medicine for spiritual awakening, is to learn how to move through your emotions and let them, the energy, flow through you. And that's been a big part of my journey, because I had those emotions, like emotional dysregulation. It's not dysregulated. It's actually healthy to feel your emotions.
Oh my gosh, I you know the glass and the overflowing is such a so important, because I think that I have in my past, and I know a lot of my clients also do that tamping down. Let's just hold it in. Let's not get out of control. Let's not let anybody else see you cry, but you got to get it out.
You got to get it out. And when you realize that don't let anybody else see, that is based on the reptilian brain paradigm of a closed, heartless existence. If you want to live as a reptilian, heartless existence on this planet going forward, you're going to have to move to another dimension. Because basically, anybody who doesn't come along, like, it's an invitation. But the planet is shifting most of us into the 5D. And so anybody who doesn't come along is going to go down to 2D. You're not going to be able to like hang out with us. And we're going to the fun place. So we're going to the sacred dreaming place. We're going to the hummingbird place. We're working with the ancestors. A lot of this is also ancestral, because your body contains the DNA of all of your ancestors' experiences throughout time. Imagine that. And if we're at a turning point and waking up to a new level of human consciousness, which we are, then you could imagine that some of that stuff needs to be healed, right? And so that's part of that mud that's caked at the bottom of the glass, and you're the glass. And it's not your stuff half the time, it's your ancestors' stuff. So don't blame them, but just go, they brought me to this place so that I could be the cleansing, the refinement, the grit in the pearl. And be the grit with the pearl, like become the pearl through the grit. And that's really the invitation. And get a mentor and a community. Please don't do this alone. Like get a community where you can share what's going on with you and have like safe places to talk about these things.
I agree. I mean, we need that. We need that community, that humanity. So I think this is the perfect time to ask you how people can get a hold of you. How can they reach out to you? How can they get your books, your new book? Give them some more information about that.
Yeah, so the new book is Inner Medicine: Becoming One with Mother Earth for the Survival of Humanity, as we said. And it's like dun dun dun, but it's also true. And and you can get the first chapter for free. And I recorded a little audible of the first chapter, and that's available at carriehummingbird.com. That's Kerri hummingbird.com/innermedicine, all one word. And you'll get in for you'll get added to my list, and you'll get a replay from our Earth Day event if you'd like to watch that back. And you can still receive the healing because there is no time and space, but we can talk about that another time. But it'll work, if you watch it back and participate, you still can add your prayers and you can still receive healing. So, yeah.
Love it. I love that. Thank you so much. So, I have a question for you. In my quest to find and expand humanity, I'm looking at how we can help our business folks to be able to come from this philosophy and how actually it'll lend itself to more profitability, but it's not the purpose of why we do it. Do you have any tips for expanding humanity beyond what you've already shared with us?
Absolutely. For business, yes. So I have a couple of clients who work at some even defense departments and areas like that and go into those spaces on a daily basis in open sacred space. If you're going into a meeting where it's going to be super tense, open sacred space over that meeting, ask for help. And you're not, all you're doing is opening to the potential that if you bring spirit, source, creator, God, whatever you want to call it, life, earth, into the conversation, that things will open up. And in fact, that's what happens. So when we open, and for MESA carriers, people that train with me, they get a MESA, which is your medicine bundle. In it's your medicine, but like in an external thing that you can hold, right? So it has rocks and stones inside of it and cloths, and it's all really beautiful. This is from the Caro. This is beautiful from the Andes Mountains. But when you bring your MESA with you, it helps you anchor that frequency in the spaces you're at. So when you work in a, let's say you work in a job where like everyone's operating from reptilian brain and they've all got their hearts closed, you might want to bring, get some MESA training and bring your MESA in and just, you don't have to like show them, but you put it in your briefcase and you just have it right there and you open sacred space and you ask the MESA to support you in radiating this field of harmonics for heart opening so that itself will wake people up. So, and by the way, like all the work you do on yourself, as I think I mentioned this earlier, it and it's there's a section on it in the Second Wave by my friend Jennifer Huff, who's a physicist, and she explains how all this works. But it's like photosynthesis. So we're always sharing photon beams of light from our own auric field everywhere we go, and nature's sharing it with us. Just like we breathe out, and the trees breathe in, and the trees breathe out, and we breathe in. Same thing, we're always sharing these light beams with each other. So whatever you've resolved within yourself on behalf of yourself is actually on behalf of humanity, because as you walk around anywhere you go, these photon beams are like being shared with everybody, and they don't know anything about this, but they're being influenced by it.
Wow.
And that will open up, like it'll open up some realization. And the longer time you spend with somebody who's like doing this path, the better you get, the more healthy you are. So if you really want to make an impact in business, like do this path, you know, however you want to do it, upgrade yourself, and then hold your frequency out for everybody to share. You don't have to even tell them that's what's going on. They wouldn't understand anyway. But you can you can share the frequency out, and you, and if you have a Mesa, you can anchor it more powerfully. And then it's just like, wow. I mean, think about that. It's like lighthouses everywhere. Yeah.
I love that. Oh my Carrie, I could chat with you for hours and hours and hours. But, you know, is there anything else that you would like to share with folks before we head off today?
The last thing I want to say is you can also really consider the influence you can have over your family system and future descendants, and also your elders who are going to be transitioning soon. You know, it's not too late for people to have an awakening process. And even if they're resistant to it, just by shining your light in your family system and opening your heart bigger and bigger and bigger in compassion and acceptance, you would not imagine how healing that is and how many changes that makes in your family system. And if you're like me, your family really matters. So I just love everybody, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity to share again. Thank you, Heather, for having me back on. And I'm just so like I told you, I was so like, oh my gosh, really? Like, that's so cool. And
well, I always love our conversations, Carrie, and I'm thrilled that everyone has loved your other show and we wanted to bring you back on for this. And so keep doing what you're doing. And listeners out there, if you love this, share it with a friend, and we will see you back again. Thank you.